All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Kufla and Gimel Amud Bet. Vim amar lo chutz min ha-matanot, patur min ha-matanot. If the Kohen sells it to the Israel and says, I'm selling it to you, the behemah, with the exclusion of the matanot, then the Israel is patur min ha-matanot, because he doesn't own them, he doesn't have them. They are retained by the Kohen. Viriminu, is that really true? Amnat sh-matanot shili. The Kohen sells it to the Israel on the condition that the matanot remain mine. Then he still has the choice to give it to whichever Kohen he chooses to give it to. So the Gemara says, Amanat achutz karamit. You're making a comparison or contrast between chutz and amanat. Those are two different mechanisms for granting. When you use the word chutz, shiura, you've limited the sale. So when you say that I'm selling to you with the exclusion of this item, chutz from this item, you've limited the contents of the sale. That means the sale is the animal with the exclusion of the matanot. That's why the Kohen retains them. Amanat, when you do it on condition, lav shiuru, that's not a limit in the sale, that's a condition in the sale. And that condition's going to fail in the sale because you're trying to take away a right that belongs to the individual that's granted to them midoraita. Min haTorah, the person that has the matanot, has the tovat hanah, has the ability to give it to whichever Kohen he chooses. And therefore, you can't come along and create a condition that limits his capacity, limits his rights to give it away. It might even be, as the Balei Tosfot would say, a matneh amashukotu batorah, that you're actually making a condition against something the Torah grants to this individual. The reason the Balei Tosfot would want to go that way is because otherwise, when the condition fails, the whole sale shall fail. So Tosfot says in the first answer, enochanami, maybe the sale doesn't fail over here. It's not only the condition that fails, but the whole sale fails. In the second answer, he says, maybe the sale goes through, but it's like matneh mashakatub b'torah. When you make a condition against the Torah, the condition fails, but the sale goes through. Because you're trying to undermine something in the Torah, it's a condition that you don't have the right to make. Whenever this condition falls away, but the sale remains intact. Verminu. Amanat shamatanot shali, amatanot shalo. So now we find a braita that seems to say just the opposite. That if the Kohen sells it to the Israel on the condition that the matanot are mine, the matanot remain his. The Gemara says, v'habligay. There's a machloket ha-tanaim over here, and the machloket revolves around this. Mar savar amanat shi'urahu. The bright that we just brought believes that amanat is a shi'urahu. Amanat is no different than chutz, and it's a limit on the scope of the sale, and that's why it goes through. Mar savar, the first bright that we brought was amanat lav shi'urahu. Amanat is a condition, not a limit in the sale, and a condition won't go through. A limit in the sale will go through. Maybe in general, amanat is a condition. But in this context, where the Kohen is selling it to an Israel, when he says, on the condition that the matanot are mine, you could interpret the condition as being a limit in the sale, because the Kohen is selling it to Israel. When he says, on the condition those are mine, it might mean not that you're going to give them back to me, but I'm going to retain them. I'm never going to let them release them to you. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe contextually here, you could argue that the amanat functions like a chut. Rashi says over here, uchutavata b'Yisrael. So what about if it was Yisrael that was selling it? Chayev alokeach. Then the purchaser would be chayav. The kevin shu shachta, because he was the one that was the shochet, alei ramya l'mitvinu. He's the one that is chayav to give it. When you say chutz is a shiur, when you say that chutz is a residual, means that I've limited the sale in somehow. If it's a Kohen who's selling it, then the Kohen can retain it for himself, because he limited the scope of the sale and he maintained the matanot. The other hand, if it's an Yisrael selling to Yisrael, neither party is entitled to the matanot. They have to be given to a Kohen. So then, who do you go after? You go after the one who shechted it. Even though the one who sold it retained it for himself, nevertheless, we saw before that the tabach, whoever's shechting it, is the one responsible party to give it. So to over here, the Yisrael is going to be responsible to give it. It might be that the one who sold it to him has a right to determine which Kohen it goes to, and that'll all be modified, qualified by what we said before about the tabach versus the balin, as to who has the real right to give it and what are the circumstances in which they have to give it. But nevertheless, you go after the person who's shechting it because he's the one who has the matanot in his hands, and the Kohen can go demand them from him, even though he may not be the owner of the matanot. Amar lo, mechor li b'nei me'ah. He says, sell me the innards, the intestines, and he sells it to him, including the matanot that were in there. He has no recourse against the tabach, because he knows that when he buys the innards, he's getting the intestines and all that's there, the entrails, with the exception of the kebab, because the kebab belongs to the kohen. And then the later part, where he bought it by weight, over there, the kohen has a right to take it from the buyer, and the buyer has recourse against the seller, because he shouldn't have sold him the weight of the kebab. So Amar Rav, lo shana l'shishakol de'atzmo. That's only true if the buyer waited for himself. Of a shakalo tabach, on the other hand, if the tabach was the one who waited for him, hadin ima tabach. Then you can go after the tabach. Because the tabach is the one who handled it. If he's handling it, then you also have recourse against the tabach. The kohen has the ability to go after the tabach, not just after the lokeach. Even if the tabach was the one who waited out, the din is with the lokeach. The lokeach is the one who has the matanot now. The kohen goes after the one who has the matanot. So lema v'drav chista kamiflege. Let us say that they argue in this view of Rav Chista. Dam Rav Chista gazal velo nityashu habalim. A person steals something, but the balim have yet to give up hope of retrieving the item, of getting it back from the gazlan. Ubacher v'achalo. And then somebody else comes along and eats that which was stolen. Ratzami zegova, ratzami zegova. He can collect from either party. The one who was stolen from, the one who lost the item, can go after the gazlan because he stole it. He can go after the one who ate it because he ate it before there was Yehush Balim, which means that it really never left the possession of the Balim. And when you ate it, you ate, in essence, stole it from the Balim. So he has two addresses to go after because they're both thieves here. One because he physically took it, the other one because he caused the loss to the Balim. And so now, Demar itle de Rav Chista, the way Rashi reads this is, Rav itle de Rav Chista. Rav subscribes to this view of Rav Chista, and that's why you can go after either party here. You can go after the tabach, or you can go after the lokeach. And that's what Rashi says, umachloto utviato af ala tabachu. Rashi says, the way that you should understand Rav is not that go after the tabach and not the lokeach. It means go after the tabach as well. You can go after both of them. And then his understanding over here is that if he goes after the lokeach, then the lokeach can go back and demand it from the tabach. If he goes after the tabach, then there's nothing to discuss because he went to the person who was deceptive in the sale here. So then when we say here, Marile Rav Chista, that's Rav. Rav holds Rav Chista that either party you can go after. Umar Leile Rav Chista. And therefore, Rav Asi, according to this, is the one who does not have Rav Chista. And you can only go after the lokeach. You cannot go after the tabach, because the lokeach is the one who has the matanot in his hands. Mar says, lo, the kuliyama itluhu de Rav Chista. Everybody holds a Rav Chista. That means, according to Rashi, everybody thinks that you can go after both parties over here. V'hocha b'matanot kuhuna nigzalot kamiflege. Here the machloket is as to whether the matanot kuhuna can be stolen. The mar savar, meaning Rav believes, nigzalot. You can't steal matanot kuhuna. Since you can't steal matnot kuhuna, therefore there are two parties over here that are problematic. There's the tabach, who stole it, and now there's the lokeach, who has it in his possession. Umar savar ein nigzalot. The other hand, Rav Asi believes that you can't steal them. Since you can't steal them, the tabach isn't on the hook over here. The matanot, wherever they are, belongs to the kohen. So the only party the kohen go after now is the party that has them in their possession, not somebody who, quote-unquote, stole it beforehand. Ika dematni lahash matata bifne atzma, or ba'anpe nafsha. Some people bring this down as an independent statement or machloket, not as a modification of our Mishnah, but rather a straight out machloket. Rav amar matanot kuna nigzalot. Rav says that the matanot kuna are stolen. Rav Asi amar matanot kuna en nigzalot. And Rav Asi says they cannot be stolen. So that's the way Rashi reads it. Rashi keeps it consistent between the first case and the second case, whereby the Gemara in first thinks their machloket is about Rav Chista, and then the Gemara shifts to say their machloket is about Gzela. And in Rashi, it's consistent. That is, that in the first case, Rav holds a Rav Chista, and in the second case, Rav is the one who thinks they are Nigzalot. And in both of those cases, according to Rashi, Rav thinks that you can go after both parties. You can have to go after the Lokeach, because he's in possession of the item. You go after the tabach, either because he's the gazlan, or because of Rav Chista's din, which is that you have the right to go after both parties. Rav Asi, on the other hand, either did not subscribe to Rav Chista, therefore you can only go after the buyer, you can't go after the tabach, or he believes that Rav Chista is correct, but the problem is here, there's no gzela. You can't steal matnot kuna. They're always in possession of the kohen, and therefore wherever they are, they belong to the kohen. And where they are now is with the lokeach, so you can go after the lokeach, you cannot go after the tabach. That's the way Rashi reads it. Bali Tosafot don't like that explanation. He says, Ein lefaresh derav itlei derav chista. There's no way you can explain that Rav holds a Rav Chista. That's exactly what Rashi said. Rav holds a Rav Chista. Ve'im arishon dekamar Rav, hainu afilu im arishon. Don't explain what Rashi says, that when Rav says im arishon, he means also with the rishon, which is exactly what Rashi said. It's interesting that he never mentions Rashi over here by name, saying that this is the view of Rashi, because Rashi says exactly that. Amachlok oto utviato af ala tabachu, is even with the tabach. Dim ken Rav Asi adin mesheni. He says, because if that's the case, then according to Rav Asi, you only can go after the lokeach. And what the Bali Tosfot would say is, that doesn't make sense. This is where he thinks Rashi is wrong, because the lekem on the polik, shlo yuchalik vot min arishon hagozel. Rav Chista's chiddush is that you can go after the second party, not that you can go after the first party. The fact that you can go after the gazlan is the obvious thing that you can do. The chiddush is that you can go after the person who ate it from the gazlan. That's the chiddush of Rav Chista. So he says, if you tell me Rav Asi is saying that you can only go after the second person, means lokeach, that's the exact opposite of Rav Chista is saying. And so how can you explain the Gemara that way? Ela yesh lefaresh ipcha. Explain it just the opposite. Rav late laid the Rav Chista. Just the opposite of what Rashi said. Rashi said Rav holds the Rav Chista. Tosafot says Rav does not hold the Rav Chista. That din davka im atabach. That Rav is saying you can only go after the Rishon. When he says Rishon, he doesn't mean and the Rishon. The lokeach and the Rishon. He means only the Rishon, only the tabach. Rav Asi it laid the Rav Chista. And Rav Asi holds the Rav Chista. That din afim alokeach. And not only can he go after the tabach, he can also go after the lokeach. And then the Gemara is dochet, and says everybody holds a Rav Chista, which means they go after both parties. And then you have the machloket as to whether they're nigzalot or not. What Tosafot points out is, if that's the case, then I reverse their positions from before. It says, v'hava ipcha mimayt hava by the memor mikara. It's just the opposite of what we said before. So the strength in Rashi's explanation here is that the two explanations keep it consistent. Rav in both explanations thinks that you can go after both parties. Rav Asi thinks that both explanations that you can only go after the lokeach. Tosafot doesn't like that explanation because he thinks everybody believes you can go after the tabach. My question is, can you go after the lokeach? So in doing such, Tosafot then flips the opinions in the first explanation, which is Rav Chista or not Rav Chista. Rav believes you can only go after the tabach. Rav Asi holds you can go after both of them. And then in the second explanation, when it's about gezel, it's just the opposite. Rav thinks that there is gezel here, therefore Rav Chista applies, therefore you can go after both parties. Rav Asi says there's no gezel, so Rav Chista doesn't apply, therefore you can only go after one party, which is the tabach. So Tosafot's weakness in chat is that you're changing from the first view to the second view what Rav and Rav Asi are holding. So it's a difficulty in the reading of the flow of the Gemara, but for him it makes more sense halachically because of the fact that everybody agrees you can go after the gazlan. The only question is, can you go after the lokeach? Then Tosafot discusses whether the matanot over here are be'en, they're still extant, or they're not extant. He says, if they are not extant, then why should he be chayav at all? We say that if you destroy or steal the matanot kuna, you're not chayav for them. Then why should he be chayav at all? And hey be'en, if they are extant, then how can they be arguing about Rav Chista? Because Rav Chista is only when he already ate them. That's the din of Rav Chista. The question of Rav Chista is not when the item is still extant, because when the gzela is extant, everybody agrees, not just Rav Chista, that you can go after the party who has it in his possession, because it's still extant. So that Tosafot therefore leaves him in Tzarachim. He's not sure exactly how to explain it, and Tosafot's difficulty is compounded because of the fact that he believes what he said in the beginning about Rav Chista. Now when he tries to figure out how does that exactly work in our scenario over here, it becomes very difficult. Okay, next Mishnah. Ger shenit gayer. You have a ger that converted. Vayta lo para. He had an animal. Nishchata shlo nit gayer. It was shechted before he converted, patur. Then he doesn't have to give the matanot because the shechita is the mechayev, and that happened prior to his conversion. Mishenit gayer, once he converts, chayav. Then if he shechted it after he converted, even though he owned the animal before, the zman achiyuv is at the time that you shechted. At that point, he's already a Jew. It's a fake. If he's uncertain as to whether it was shechted before or after his conversion, meaning that someone else shechted it maybe on his behalf, or someone in the family shechted it, and they're not sure as to the timing of the shechita vis-a-vis the timing of the conversion. So then, patur, shemotzi mechaveiro, alav araya. Because the kohen is going to have to prove that it happened pre-shechita in order to take it, versus post-shechita where he'd have no right to it. So motzi mechaveiro, alav araya, therefore he can keep it. The other Rav Dimi Amar Ramile Rabbi Shimon Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon Lakish challenged Rabbi Yochanan from the following stira. Our Mishnah, it's done. Safek, patur. Our Mishnah says that if it's a safek, you don't give it up because it's motzi mechaveiro alav araya. Alma safek lekula. The conclusion is that when you have a safek, you go lekula. Viriminu. What about that which we find in Peah? Chorei hanimalim shebetoch hakama. If you have holes in the standing grain, where kernels fell off the standing grain and fell into the holes that are in the field itself, they clearly belong to the balabayit because the aniyim have no right yet to be in the field, no right to take that which is in the field, that which fell off before they start harvesting is not called leket. It's not something that he's required to give to the aniyim. Leket is something that falls away during the harvesting process. But here he has yet to harvest. So those are his for sure. She'lachara kotzrim, after the harvesters are gone by that section, then hayel yunim la'aniyim, batachtonim shel balabayit. The ones that are higher up in the holes in the field, those belong to the aniyim because they, in all likelihood, fell away during the harvesting process. But the ones that are deep down, those belong to the balabayit because they likely fell when it was still standing grain. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol aniyim. Everything goes to aniyim. Just a fake leket, leket. When you have a safek and leket, it is leket. So this seems to go against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, versus the Braita where they're quoting Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says when you have safek matanot, they're not matanot amotzi mechaveiro lavaraya. Over here when you say safek leket, we say it is leket. So there's a steer in Rabbi Meir. Now, both of these are monetary obligations, meaning that the matanot are a monetary obligation to be given to the Kohen. There's no iser associated with the item. And similarly, leket is a monetary obligation to the aniyim. It's not an iser. If you steal either one of them, you have a monetary claim against the thief, but you do not have a problem with the thief eating it or being a davar she'asur. So why in one case do we say safek matanot lukula? And by safekik leket, we go to Chumrah and say that it is leket. So Rabbi Yochanan answers Reish Lakish in a similar fashion that we saw earlier in the Masechta, where Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan by our Mishnah, and he says, Al tekniteni shelashon yachid ani shoneh. Don't challenge me from that, because I learned that view of Rabbi Meir is a dat yachid. Titania, we have a Braita, and he brings corroboration to this idea. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. So now you see that it's not Rabbi Meir's Deah. It's somebody who's saying that it is Rabbi Meir's Deah. Safek leket, leket. Safek shechcha, shechcha. Safek peyah, peyah. When it comes to the matnot aniyim, anything that is a safek goes to the aniyim's favor. But what Rabbi Yochanan says is, don't ask me from the Mishnah, because I don't believe that Mishnah is accepted by everyone. And as the Baal Tosfot point out, the question's not just from Rabbi Meir. The question is from the Rabbonon. The Rabbanan only argue because they think that the Tachtonim, the ants, took them down there while it was still Bekama. If not, if they were B'Safek, they would agree that it goes to the Aniyim. It's only because they think for certain that it belongs to the Balim down there. But if it had been a Safek, they wouldn't disagree with Rabbi Meir. So the question is from the entirety of the Mishnah, this idea that Rabbi Meir raises that the Chamim don't disagree with. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is that's a Dat Yachid. Rabbi Meir, it's not a global opinion that Rabbi Meir says the Chamim don't disagree. It's somebody saying that Rabbi Meir said this. And so therefore it's a dat yachid. Now, we saw before, Rashi just says dat yachid means it's an opinion of an individual. It's not an opinion of many. On the other hand, the Baal Tosfot say that has to be what's written in his Mishnah, because it doesn't matter that it's a dat yachid. If Rabbi states it as if it's not a dat yachid, then in the Mishnah it takes on the power of being the dat rabim. So here, if he didn't specify that it was somebody quoting Rabbi Meir, that would imply that Rabbi Meir says it and the Chachamim agree to it. Once you have somebody who says it in the name of Rabbi Meir, then you're starting to give the attribution to a single individual, and who says the Chachamim agree with that? They don't necessarily disagree with Rabbi Meir, but they might disagree with that Rabbi Meir ever said this because it's brought by an individual. And so the Baal Tosafot say in all these places that it can't be just simply that's a dat yachid. It has to be that in his Mishnah, it's written in particular that was dat yachid quoting Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Lakish responds to him and says, Amar lo, al tashaneh ota elo b'shon ben tadal. Even if you teach it in a lashon, a language of ben tadal, Rashi says over here that ben tadal is just a random name. He's saying if you quote it in the name of any fool, it doesn't matter. The question still exists. If you look in the Mesorot HaShas, it says, it degaras rel perush rel svatayim. Even if you quote it from someone who can't even speak or can't speak properly, v'yesh misha gores bo ben adal, that's another possibility. It's a reference to a person that wasn't mitakdek in quoting things properly. So Rav Shlomo Lakish, no matter how you explain this phrase over here, is saying attribution doesn't matter over here because he explains his reasoning. And explaining his reasoning then still is a question for you, which is, Damar Rav Shlomo Lakish, my dichtiv. What is meant in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Anivarash Atzdiku, that the poor person and the one who is impoverished, you should be Matzdik. You should make them right. You should justify their positions. Mahitzdiku. What does that mean, that you should exonerate them? You should favor them. Ilema Bidinim. If you're telling me that that's in a court case where you should adjudicate in their favor, Bakhtiv, Vidalo Te Darbi Rivo. Plus, it's explicit. You're not allowed to favor a poor person in a court case. You have to adjudicate honestly and properly. You can't favor the poor person because you say the rich person has an obligation to take care of him anyway. So let me pass in his favor so that he gets the money. You're not allowed to do that. You can't favor the poor person in the din. Ella tzedek mishalcha metein lo. Take up some that which belongs to you, you should give to him. Meaning that in cases of safek, you opt to give him, even though it might be coming out of your own pocket. And by the way, this is the very important Orach Chaim that's found in Parshat Mishpatim with regards to Imkeset Talveh Tamid, where he points out that the word staka does not mean charity, the way that we translate into English, but staka means that which is rightfully yours. And that's what the Gemara is saying over here, Tzadek Mishalcha, that you have to make him right out of your own pocket. The tzadik means mi shuret adin. It's this way. And that's how the Orach Chaim over there explains staka is not a charity. Staka is what you're supposed to give because it belongs to that other person. Hashem wanted that other person to have this money and he happened to deposit it with you. So you need to go now and take it, what's deposited with you, and give it to the other person. Not because you're charitable, but that's because God gave you too much, or he gave you the other person's parnasa, and now you need to give it to him, you need to pass it along to him. So that's the idea here. Tzadik mishalcha v'tein lo. You should give out of your own pocket and make sure that he gets, meaning when there's a safek, you have to give it. Now, once you've given that reason should apply not only over here by the matanot aniim, it should apply to the kohen as well. If you tell me anytime there's a safek, it should come out of your pocket, so too by the kohenim, it should come out of your pocket. Amar Rava, Rava makes a distinction. Hakal para b'chezkat turah kaima. Depends on the previous status of the animal. What was the default or chazaka of the animal? The animal, until this moment in time, was patur mimatanot, because it belonged to a goy. A goy is not chayav imatanot. When he converted and became a Jew, that's when the chiyuv started. So if you go by the chazaka of the animal status is patur. You have to now show or demonstrate that it changed from patur into chayav. That's what we say. Motzi mechavero lavaraya. Kama becheskat chiyuva kaima. When you have standing grain in the field, in all likelihood, that item is going to be chayav in leket shechcha and taya. It's not because of the fact that you did something that it becomes chayav. It will be chayav no matter what. It's owned by a Jew. It's going to be harvested. And if it's going to be harvested, then there's going to be a requirement of payah by the kama. And once you harvest it, there's going to be a din of leket and shechcha. The status of the item is chayav. So you have to now come and prove the other way. You have to come and show that it's patur. So the default is the chazaka that you are chayav. If you want to be paturier, then the motzi mecharer lo v'rayah, burner proof is on the individual who wants to make him patur. That's why by safek matanot it's the kula, and by safek matanot iniim it is the chumra. Amar lei Abaye. So Abaye challenges Rova's explanation, v'rayisa. What about dough? When it comes to dough that is chayav in chala, says, nasi tach lo nitkayer, if he makes the dough before he converted, patur mi chala. He doesn't have to give chala because it was done when he was a goy. The point of time where you become chayav, reshit arisotechem, point where he became an arisa, he was not chayav at that time, so there is no chiyuv. Mishinit gayer, if it's after he converted that you make it into dough, then he is chayav in chala, because the moment of chiyuv takes place when he's already a full-fledged Jew. Safek, if it is a safek, chayav. Now, in this case, the chazoko is that he's patur. It's the same case as the parai. He was a goy until this point in time. The cheskat ha'isa is to be patur. So why over here don't you say, amotzi mechavero lavaraya? Why are you saying that you're chayav in chala? Samalei, safek isura lechumra, safek mimona lekula. So we have two principles, and then in the one principle there's a bifurcation of the din. The first principle is, if it is something that was becheskat patur, it remains becheskat patur. The second principle is, if something was becheskat chiyuv, it remains becheskat chiyuv. That'll explain why, by the manot kuna, the zroel chayayim and keba, from the ger that's besafek, you are patur, because the status was patur until now. By the matnot aniyim, you're going to be chayav misafek, because it was chayav. Default situation is going to be that you are chayav and not patur, and therefore the chazaka is the chiyuv. The case of Kala comes to subdivide the din that says when it is cheskat patur, you remain patur. That din divides between mamon. When it's a monetary obligation, the chazaka remains the same. And therefore you are patur and matzimi chavero lavaraya. By isur, even though the chazaka is patur, by isur we don't take risks. That's a chiyuv mita bidei shemaim. Therefore safek Kala is Kala. Because of the isur, by isur you don't say matzimi chavero lavaraya. Isur, you say, I avoid it at all costs. So avoid it at all costs, that means safek chala is chala. Dama Rav Chista, v'chein tami Rav Chia. And I have proof to this because we have a member from Rav Chista, the name of Rav Chia. Shmona sefekot, nimru, b'ger. There are 8 sefekot by a ger. Arba lechiyuv, v'arba liftor. In 4 of them, we are machriya to say and say you're chayav misafek. In 4 of them, we're machriya to say you are patur. Kurban ishto. When he has to bring a korban for his wife who gave birth, she was pregnant, and we're not sure if the birth took place before he converted or after he converted. Forgetting that the child himself is also now questionable because of that. But the question for the wife is, now that she gave birth, is she chayevet in a korban yoledet? If she's chayevet in a korban yoledet, if she then enters the mikdash without doing such, or she eats the kodeshim without taking care of that, there's a chiyuv karet associated with that. And you're dealing with Isur. Therefore, when you have a safek of Korban Ishto, we're going to tell you, misafek, bring the Korban. How you do that, we've discussed back in Zbachim. We'll get to it in the Mishnayot and Kinim as well. But there are ways to bring a Korban Yoledet, bisafek, because you can bring 2 birds that are Allah and a Chatat. The only safek Chatat that can be brought in the Mikdash is the Chatat Oath. And therefore, there is a way to do this, even mitzad safek. Vichala, the other case of safek, which we just saw now, is if you have safek chala, you give the chala. Ubichor beima tmeya, the firstborn of a chamor, is asur v'hana'a, until you redeem it. Once you've redeemed it, then there's no isur hana'a, and we'll discuss the seh that is redeemed for it. But at least the animal itself is asur v'hana'a until you deal with it. So you need to do the pejon, you have to do the redemption of the animal. Ubichor beima torah, ubichor beima torah, you also have a safek. But it's a really serious safek, because the firstborn, if it is a firstborn, needs to go on the mizbeach. You shecht it b'chutz, chayav karet. That's a serious violation. So what we're going to tell you to do is wait until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, you can keep it for yourself, because then it becomes a monetary issue, not an iser issue. And motzi mechavero olav haraya. In all of those cases, the chiyuv. All those fekot, we make you deal with them. By korban ishto, we make you bring a korban, misafek. By chala, we make you give up or disgorge the chala, because that's an iser mita b'dei b'shamayim. It's like truma. So you have to give it up to the kohen. Ubechor, I mean, technically you could sell it to the Kohen because the monetary side of it, he has to prove, But mitzad Easter, you have to get that kalat to a kohen and not eat it. Safek beimatz meyaz asur ba'ana'ah until you redeem it. So therefore, you have a chiyuv to deal with that. And b'chor beimat tveora is a b'chor, which would end up with shechita b'chutz if you did something with it. Therefore, because there's an Easter, you need to go to Safek Bechumra and deal with that. So that way you deal with that is wait till it gets a mum, and then you can keep it and eat it for yourself, and eat it b'kdushat b'chor. In all three and four of those cases, it is b'chiyuv, but you can see the common denominator between them is, there's a problem, there's a violation that you would abrogate if you didn't take care of the matter. And therefore we force you to deal with it. That's the Isura side. The next four are Reshita Geis, next Perek, Hamatanot R Perek, Zrodachayim Vikeba, Pidyon Ben, the money that you get for Pidyon Ben, U Pidyon Peter Chamor, and the redemption of the Chamor. We just said the redemption of the Chamor is one of the things, the Chiyu. That's the Chamor itself. The Chamor itself is Isur Hanah, therefore you have to redeem it. But the set that you redeem it with is chulin. And therefore that's a monetary obligation. All of these things are monetary obligations that do not involve any sur. Rashida Gaze, we'll see next parak, the Matano, we've already discussed in this parak. There's no isur in the animal, it's just a monetary obligation to the Kohen. Tosfot says that that works well for the one who says that there is no tevel when you don't take off the matnot. What about on Kuplam and Abed? We saw there was a Deya, Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that the matnot do cause a problem of tevel for the animal until they're taken off. So then it should have set it up in this bright talk in a similar fashion to the way it sets up Pidyon Peter Chamor. That the Peter Chamor is in the first category of Chiyuv. Once the set is exchanged for it, it's Chulin, it'll be in the second category of Patur. So it's doing the same thing with Matnot Kuna. While they're in the animal, it's the Chomra and they should be separated out in order to remove the Tevel from the animal. Once they're removed, they're chulin, and then he can keep it. But that would have been the proper way to set it up, rather than just sticking the matanot in the second half of the braita. So Tosfot just leaves that as a tzarachiyun according to that opinion, although the answer likely is that we don't hold of that opinion, and therefore the braita is addressing what we believe the halacha, that is that the matanot, kunav, zroh, lechayayim, and keba, do not make the animal into tevel. It would also be somewhat against what Tosfot said back in Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, that even if you believe that there is no problem with Tevel, there's still a problem with Isur, because if there's an Isur, then you should also have to separate it out before keeping it for yourself because of the monetary obligation, but you should have to separate it out in order to remove the Isur. And Tosfot makes no mention that over here, which is interesting to note. So that Pidyon Ben is cash for the kid, but the kid himself is not a sur. It's a ceremonial redeeming of the kid from the Kohen, which is a mitzvah to do, but there's no Isur involved in it. It's a monetary issue. And same thing with Pidyon Peter Chamor. Not the Chamor, but the set that you redeemed it with is simply a monetary issue as to whether the Kohen gets it. Here you'll keep it. All these cases you are patur because it's a safek b'mamona. Therefore you go to the Chezkat tur and it remains patur. You show from that this distinction that Rova answered Abaye and says there's a distinction between Easter and Mamon. This Braita from Rabbi Chia corroborates that and says there are four items that you are chayav to deal with the misafek because they're isurim. Four items that you don't have to deal with misafek because they're mamon and therefore you are patur because the motzi mechavero alav araya. Kiyaden rav and amar kama akama romile. That Reish Lakish's question was not because of our Mishnah, which Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, versus the Braita where they're quoting Rabbi Meir. Rather, he brought another Braita. He brought one Braita that said safek leket is not leket. And then he brought the Mishnah from Peah that he brought in our Gemara, which says Safek Leket is Leket. And then that Stira is what he challenged Rabbi Yochanan with. And Rabbi Yochanan answered that that quote that you brought from the Braita with Rabbi Meir in it was only a Dat Yachid. And it's not really Rabbi Meir's opinion according to everyone. And therefore the Braita, they're not Bistira. So that way he just avoids our Mishnah and says it's a Stira in Braita in Rabbi Meir's position. And the answer Rabbi Yochanan gives is, there are two different deyot. That's what Rabbi Meir said. There's the Dat Yachid, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, and the other one is the Rabbanan's view of what Rabbi Meir says. And therefore, there's no stira there because it's two different Tanaim explaining Rabbi Meir's position. And now, Levi Zara B'Kishar. Levi planted in a place called the Kishar. Below Avanim, the Mishkal Leket. There were no poor people where he lived to come and pick up the Leket. Adalekha made the Rav Sheshet. He went to Rav Sheshet to say, what do I do about the leket that's in the field? Do I have to leave the leket even though there are no anim to pick it up? So Amar Lei says to him, Lani, v'la ger tazov v'tam. It says by the leket that you leave it over for the ani and the ger, velolo orvim, velolo atalefim. You don't have to leave it over for the ravens or for the bats. It says to leave it for the poor people. If there are no poor people here, when you leave it on the field, it's going to be for the animals. You don't have any obligation to leave it for the animals. So in essence, what he's saying to him is, you don't need to leave leket in this case. Meitavei, emi vein truma, lo mi gorin la'ir, lo mi midbar yishuv. You don't have to bring them out from the threshing area to the city. You don't have to bring them in from the uninhabited or the unsettled areas, the yishuv, to the settled areas, because the obligation is on the kohen to come and get it from you. You don't have to go give it to the kohen. Kohen comes to you, and then you give the truma to him. But you don't have an obligation to take it to the kohen. V'im ein shem kohen. No kohen here. It sounds like our case. Socher para meviyah. Then he has to hire a hauler, a cow, an ox, umeviyah, and he has to bring it to the city. Mipnei hefseid. It's a question of whether mipnei hefseid truma or mipnei hefseid kohen. Either because you're going to cause a loss to the kohen, or you're going to cause a loss to the truma. Because if you're mafish the truma, and there's nobody there to take it, then it's going to just go bad. And you're going to ruin the truma, or you're going to cause the kohen a loss. So in that case, we obligated you to bring it to a place where there is a kohen. So what we want to know is, why is the din different? Why by truma do we obligate you to take it to the party that's going to get it? And by the matnot aniim, we don't obligate you to go take it to the party that it belongs to, you just don't have to give it then. The answer is, him, that's not an issue. Shiny truma, the tavlo. Truma is different because it makes it into tevel. Below sagia, below mafrishla. If you don't take it off, then you have tevel and you can't eat it. So you have to take off the truma. Once you take off the truma, you need to deal with the truma. By matanot, delo tavle, by the matanot aniim, if you don't take off matanot aniim, that's theft, but it's not an isur, there's no tevel involved there. So in our case, where there are no aniim around, then there's not even a theft issue. You don't have to take them off whatsoever. Bitanya, makom shenagu limlog ba'agalim lo yafshit et azroa. Lafshit et arosh lo yafshit et alechi. In a place where the minog is to eat the animal's flesh along with the skin that is around it, which is limlog, they boil it heavily. When they boil it heavily, then not only is the basar edible, but the hide that's around it becomes edible. So if the minog in that place is to eat the hide along with the basar, then when you give the zroa to the kohen, you have to give the zroa to the kohen with the hide on it. Lo yafshita the zroa. You should not flay the zroa and give it to him like that. Lafshita the rosh, in a place where it is the minog to flay the head, you should not flay the area of the lache, either because this is also being modified by the beginning of the Mishnah, that's a place where they eat the skin together with the basar, or because of what the Gemara is going to say later on, that as part of the lechi, you also get the wool that's on that area, and you get the beard hair that's on that area. So you're entitled not only to the lechi itself, but to the skin that's on top of it. So you shouldn't play it off, because that is a part of the matnot kuna. V'im ein shem kohen, this is your question from yesterday. What do you do if there's no kohen there for the matanot? Malino tov damim, you convert it into cash. V'achlam nipnei hefsein kohen. And then you eat the matanot. So here you, in essence, redeem them onto money, because that's all it is. Matanot are a monetary obligation. So you take that monetary obligation and convert it into cash, because otherwise the coin is going to lose out over here. If you just leave the matanot, they're just going to go bad. There's no refrigeration. There's no way to keep it. No freezing of it. You need to deal with it right now. There are no kohanim here. The way that you deal with it is you convert it into cash. So why over there, by matanot kuna, do we say convert it into cash and then give the money to the kohen? Why don't we say the same thing with that matnot to aniim? Convert it into cash and give it to the aniim when you find aniim. Where it says, shani matnot dukuna dinitina tibbei. It's a big difference between matanot aniim and matanot of the zroa lechayayim and keiba. The zroa lechayayim and keiba, it says, v'zeye mishpata kohanim eit ha'am, me'et somche zerach and shorim zeh v'natan lakohen. You have to give it to the kohen. The obligation is on you to give it. That's not true by the matnot aniim. The matnot aniim are tazol. You leave it for them and they gotta come pick it up. You don't have to do anything to facilitate the aniim's coming. So that's why when the aniim aren't there, you don't have to do anything. There's no tevel. It doesn't ruin your crops. Nobody give it to, then you don't have any obligation to leave it there. And so it's yours to keep. Now then, by the matnot of the zroa l'chayayim v'keiba, you have an obligation to give it. So therefore, there's no Kohen there. You got to redeem it, monetize it, and protect the Kohen's rights over here because you have an obligation to get it to the Kohen. The Gemara says, Hashta atit ahi. Now that you gave that answer, Truma nami. Truma, the same thing. Forget about Tevel, that the Truma makes the Tevel. Truma is the same thing. Netinok tibay. But Truma says we have to go benatan. You have to give it to the Kohen. If you have to give it to the Kohen, then the obligation is on you. And that's why you got to hire the para and ship it off to the city because you have an obligation to make sure it gets to the Kohen. Vela tazov yetera lomali. So then why do I need the extra tazov? Now that goes back to Levi's question to Rav Sheshit, who says, what do I do with that which is matnot aniim when there are no aniim around? So Rav Sheshit said back to him, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to leave it at all. What the Gemara is assuming is the reason that Rav Sheshit came to that conclusion is because there's a duplicate tazov. There is a tazov that's found in Parshat Kiddushim, which is v'charmachal otolel. Uperet karmachal otolakeit, la'adniv la'ger tazov utam, ani Hashem elokecha. Also, in Pashat Emor, it also says tazov, kutzrechem and kitziratzechem, lo tukhaleh batzadcha, kutzrecha, v'leket kitziracha lo tolakeit, la'adniv la'ger tazov utam, ani Hashem elokecha. If you're telling me that the reason that Truma has to be given is because of Natan, you tell me the reason that Matanot couldn't have to be given is Natan, by the Matanot Anihim, it doesn't say Natan. You don't need an extra tazov to teach you that din, that you can keep it for yourself. Which is tazov for the aniim, not for the animals. You don't need that anymore because it doesn't have the word natan. And tazov itself would end you up in that din. So what do I do with that extra tazov? Look at Itanya. A mafkirat karmo, person who gives up ownership, he relinquishes his control over his vineyard, he makes it hefker. Into anybody who can come and take it, a public property. Well, the shachar ishkim ubetzaro gets up in the morning and says, you know what? I like this vineyard. And he goes and harvests the whole vineyard. All the matnot aniim that are associated with the work in the field, all of those still apply. Upator min hamasrot. On the other hand, you're patur from maser. We know that hefker is patur mitrumot hamasrot. So that still is true over here. But with regards to the matnot aniim, you're still chayav. Why is that? Because tazov tazov, the extra tazov comes to teach you that you are obligated to leave it even after hefker. That's because you took or you repossessed it. If it was real hefker, it would be patur mi matnot aniim, just like it's patur mi truma masrot. But here we kind of did a ploy to make it hefker to get you out of the dinim of trumot masrot. It works for the trumot masrot. It does not work for the matnot aniim. That's because there's an extra tazov. And Rashi over here goes through each of the matnot aniim and shows you how each one of them has a duplication. Leket, Ololot, Shechan, Peah, all have duplications of the obligation to leave it, and that's even in the face of this type of hefker. How Saka the Dinare, this bag of money, Da'at Lebe Midrash, showed up in the Beit Midrash. And somebody sent a donation, seems like, to the Beit Midrash, and all of a sudden a sack of money without any information, without any instructions, shows up and is delivered to the Beit Midrash. So then, Kodim Rabbi Ami, who was seemingly the Rosh Yeshiva, Zakoban, and he took it for himself. Where it says, how do you do that? Bakhtevi Natan, Baloshi told me at small. Don't we say with regards to the gifting of these matanot, that the Natan, the person gives it, the recipient doesn't come and take it. So how could Rabbi Ami come here and take it for himself if the person did not grant it to him,
but rather to the Bnei Yeshiva as a whole?
Where is his fulfillment of this idea of Natan and Lo Shi'ito,
which seems to be a more generic imperative that you just don't take for yourself when something's granted to an institution as a whole. Or you could argue that the monies were given to the poor,
but doesn't it say by the Matanot Anim V'Natan, V'Dashina and Lo Shi'ito Me'atzmo, that you shouldn't take it of your own volition, but rather the Matanot Anim or the Tzedakah must be given.
And so why, if it was intended for all the Anim, is he violating this principle that we learned before, that it belongs to the aniim as a class and not to one particular aniim? So nobody can come and take it. It must be distributed evenly to all of the aniim.
The Gemara gives two answers. Rabbi Ami Nami, l'aniim zakaben. He didn't take it for himself. He took it on behalf of the aniim. Rabbi Vaitema, Adam Chashub Shaini. Because he was the Rosh Yeshiva, it's different. The Tanya, as it says with regards to the Kohen HaGadol, the Kohen HaGadol me'echav. He is the Kohen Gadol from his brethren. Sheheh gadol me'echav. He has to be better or greater than his fellow kohanim. Benoy, his appearance. Bechokhman, his wisdom. Be'osher, his wealth.
Acharim omrim me'echav gadol mishel echav.
That when it says a kohen gadol me'echav, that he's greater than his fellow kohanim, then yes, all of these items are things that you're born with. Wealth is something that you accumulate. So what happens if the kohen has all these character traits but it's not wealthy? The answer is a gadol me'echav, that gadleu mishel echav, that you have to fund him. His fellow kohanim have to make him rich so that he is richer. So over here too, the Rosh Yeshiva, who's like the kohen gadol, the people in the Beit Midrash have an obligation to make sure that in his standing as the Rosh Yeshiva, he is wealthy, just like the kohen gadol. Right now, the final Mishnah in the Perek, which, as in many times, the Mishnayot, this Mishnah would have been helpful earlier, which is the Zroa, the Chayayim, and Keba. What's the definition of what the Zroa, the Chayayim, and the Keba are? So, Ezu HaZroa, what is the Zroa? Min Perek HaShel Arkuba Ad Kaf Shel Yad. So, if you remember, with regards to the legs of the animal, there are three bones. There's the bone that's the top bone, which is the kulit, that in the front is inserted into the scapula, and in the back is inserted into the pelvis. There's the middle bone, which is known as the shok, and there's the lower bone of the leg, which is known as the arkuba. There are two joints there. There's the joint between the arkuba and the shok, and there's another joint between the shok and the kulit. So over here, when it says min perek, the joint of the arkuba, it's talking about the lower knee. It's the joint between the arkuba and the shok. Then you get ad kaf shel yad, get all the way up to the scapula. So in essence, what the Mishnah is saying is that you are entitled to two out of the three bones of the right foreleg. That's what's given to the kohen as a matana. That means the shok and the kulit both go to the kohen as the matana. Vehu shel nazir. And when the Torah says zroa b'sheila, which is one of the items that's the matnot kuna by the nazir, that's the same size zroa. The zroa is from the lower knee until the scapula. Uchenegdo beregel shok. And in the hind leg, it's the similar part for the shoka yamin that you have to give to the kohen. That is again from the lower knee up to the pelvis over there, not the scapula. So the upper two bones, the shok and the kulit. Yudomer shok minaperek shel arkuva ad subach shel regel. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, believes that when it says that the shok is only one bone. The shok is between the knee until the subach shel regel, which is the joint between the shok and the kulit. So according to him, when it means shok, it means literally shok, and only that middle bone out of the three bones, not the middle bone and the upper bone, the kulit, just the shok. That's true by the shok, and the assumption is that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regards to the zroa would be the same. It's only the middle bone, not the upper or lower bone. It's not the arkuba, it's the zroa, and not the kulit. Ezu lechi, what is considered to be the jaw, min haperek shel lechi, from the joint of the jaw, ad pikas shel gargaret. Until pikas shel gargaret, which the Tosafot here defines as being the tabat agidola, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, that's the cricoid cartilage, and he says that's because it's round, similar to the roundness of a pin cushion, in which they used to stick in a pin, they have holes in it. So that shape of the tabat agidola is very similar to the pika that the weavers used to put their weaving pins into. And therefore it's called the pika shel gargaret, which would be the first, basically, tracheal ring below the Adam's apple or the shipui, the kova, which is the thyroid cartilage. Tanrabanan, hazeroa. It says, with regards to the matnot that you give, that you have to give hazeroa, ve'alechayim, ve'akeba. In each of these, there's a hey, a yidia, which isn't necessary. Could have just written, atanakoin, zroa, ve'chayayim, ve'keba. What is hazeroa? Halechaim and hakeba. Why is there a hey idea? Tanu banana zroa zezroa yamin. That's the right foreleg. Ataumer zezroa yamin. Uenu el zroa small. How do you know it's the right foreleg? Maybe it's the left foreleg. Tamalomer hazeroa the hey idea. My Talmud up. Why does the hey idea teach you right and not left? Kedamarova. Like Rava said earlier in our Masechta with regards to the Gidan Hashem. When it says the Gidan Hashem from the Hayarech. Our yerech means hamiyumenet shabiyerech. It's the more dexterous of the yerech. Hakanami hazeroa hamiyuman shibizroa. The more dexterous of the forelegs, which is always the right. The majority of people in the world are righties and not lefties. Therefore, we always see the right as being more dexterous and stronger. And so therefore, when you have a hey idea associated with yerech, it means the right yerech.
If Hei Yedias was associated with Zroa, it would mean the right Zroa. And even the Chachamim would disagree over there with regards to the Yerech, that the Gidon Asher applies to both legs, not just the right leg. Over here they would agree that Hazroa is Amiyumenet, because over here they have no additional limud to use it for, because over there they had another limud for Hayerech. Hayerech means the Gid that is Pashuti Suro B'chol Hayerech. The one that goes through the entirety of the leg. That's the Gidon Asher, not the other Gid. They have something to do with that limud. Over here, Hazroa, they have nothing to do with the limud, so they're going to agree. Hazroa means Amiyumenet Shibit Zroa. Valechayayim. Why do you have the Hei Yidiyah Valechayim? What does that come to teach you? That comes to include that when you take off the lower jaw down to the pika, then you get everything that's on there. Not just the jaw and the flesh that's there, the tongue. You also get the wool that is there, or the beard of the goat that also goes to the Kohen. What is the Hei Yidiyah Valechayim? The Mayato, where does that come from? The chavi chelev shal gabei akeba comes to include the fats that are around the keba. The chalav shibitoch akeba, that's one way to read it. It seems to be what Rashi is saying because he says it's chalav karush. It's already coagulated. It's already curdled inside of there. So that seems to be speaking about chalav that's in the keba. Or you could argue that it's chelev, which is it's the chelev on the outside of the keba and the chelev that's on the inside of the keba. You can read it either way. But those are included in the keba. Damar Rabbi Yeshua, because we also have evidence of this from a statement of Rabbi Yeshua, maybe Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kohanim nagu bo ayin yafeh, that the Kohanim were generous about this, but not nu'al the Baalim, and they don't take it from the Baalim, meaning they leave these fats and milk to the Baalim, even though technically they are entitled to them. But you see from there that it is time of the nagu. That's the minhag that the Kohanim don't take it. Halo nagu, if that was not the practice, then that would have been theirs. I mean, if the Kohanim are doing something generous and leaving it with the Baalim, but if they didn't want to be generous, it actually would be theirs. Dorshei chamurot hayu omrim. Rashi over here says, chamurot means mikraot stumim. Things that are inexplicable. Things that are not clear. So over here, zroa lechayim in keba, why are those the gifts or the matnot kiuna? That would be the idea of dorshei chamurot. But Tosafot on the other hand says, chamurot mean Mama Secha. The word chamurot in Aramaic means, what are you doing here? That's a dorshei chamurot over here would mean those that doresh. What's your purpose? What's the reason for this? So over here they're asking, what's the reason for the zroa, the chayayim in keba? So dorshei chamurot, hayu omrim, to explain. Zroa keneged hayad. The zroa in compensation for the hand. Chenumer, vayikach romach viado. When Pinchas stands up for the Kiddush Hashem as a Kohen, and he goes and kills Zimri ben Salu and Kazmi Batsur. Over there it says, Ve'ikach haromach v'yado. He took the spear in his hand. So the fact that he used his hand in this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, he's awarded the Brit Kunat Olam. As part of that, this is the Matnot Kunat that they get the Zroa. Rashi adds that this is also evidence of the fact that it's the right side, because you conduct more with your right hand. And that's another indication that the Zroa means the right side and not the left side. L'chayayim. The reason that they get the jaw or the cheeks is keneged tefillah. Because he davened at that time, because it says, V'cheinu omer in Tehillim, it says, V'yamot Pinchas v'yifalel. Pinchas gets up and he davens before he goes to kill Zimri ben Salu and Kazmi ben Tzur. Davens to Hashem that his motivations and his conclusion over here should be correct. And here it happens to be, this is the only time you ever see the word Filah in the active form of Ayif Palel. It's an exception to the rule. Generally, it is a reflexive verb. Hitlehitz Palel. You don't say Ayif Palel. It's the only time you actually find the active verb. And there's much to say about the fact that Filah is not an active verb, but rather a reflexive verb. Keba, Kemashma. Keba is literally what it means, the Keba, because Chenu Omer et Aisha El Kabata. Because where he speared them was through their stomachs. So the keba is where he did it. It says el kubata, through her stomach, that he put the spear through them. And so you see, that's also part of the reward that he gets for his actions over there. Tata maiti lamiocha. Another bright that learns it from here, that it is the right zroa. Because it says with regards to the shok, it explicitly says shoka yamin. The right shok is what the Kohanim get from the shlamim. In the other shoka yamin. Zroa muktashim inayin. How do I know when it comes to the zroa b'sheila by the nazir it's also the right side. Tamalomar, truma. The extra word of truma that's found by the Shofi Amin. Zroa chulin, minayin. How do I know the zroa that's by chulin, which are the matanot? Zroa lechayayim and kibah. I know it's the right one. Tamalomar, titnu. It says in the Pasuk, it's Shofi Amin, titnu truma lakoin. Mizivchei shamechem. Therefore, the titnu comes to include the zroa of the chulin, and truma comes to include the zroa, the sheila of the El Nazir. And you can see here on the side that he points out that based on the pasuk that we read over here, that it is the shogei amim titnu truma lakohen, then the order of the drasha in the Gemara should have been reversed, which is the shogei amim refers to the shok, titnu refers to the zroa of chulin, truma references to the zroa b'sheila of the nazir in order to match up the words in the order of the pasuk, or you have to change the drasha, which he brings a different girsa, which is that the girsa is that the Shokei Amin is a reference to the Shok. Titnu is a reference to the El Nazir, the Zroa of the El Nazir. Truma is a reference to that of Chulin. But that's to keep it in order of the Psukim. So either you have to flip the order of the Drosha so it follows the order of the Pasuk. And then the Titnu is a reference to the Zroa of Kodeshim. And the Truma is a reference to the Zroa of the Matnot Kihuna. Or you have to just say that Mukdashim is associated with the Truma, but it'll be the second Drosha. And the Zroa of the Chulim will be the first Drasha. And so through that Shokei Yamin, this Braita learns out Yamin to teach you Yamin about all these items, not the Hei Yidiyah that the Gemara brought in the first case. And now, just to finish off the Perek, Eju Lechei, min Perek Shalechei, about Pika Shel Gargeret. It's from the joint of the jaw, all the way down to the Pika Shel Gargeret, to the Tabat Agidola, Vatanya, Notla, Ubech Chita Ima. Don't we have a braita that says that you take it along with the Beit HaShkita, the place where it's shechted? Lo kasha, Arabonon, v'Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Depends which opinion you are following. This goes back all the way to the beginning of the Masechta, into a machloket about Hagrama. What is the highest point on the trachea that you're allowed to shecht the animal? So the Chachamim say that the highest point at which you can shecht is Tabat HaGdola, which is the cricoid cartilage. So that's the top point where you can do Shkita. And that's at the same place where the lechi goes until. On the other hand, for Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, he says you can shecht all the way up to the shipua kova, which is the thyroid cartilage, which would be above the point of which you're giving to the kohen from the lechi. So the difference between them is what's called beit hashkita. So if you're going to give down to the bikashel gargeret, therefore our mishnah is for the chachamim, because for the chachamim, that is still above the Beit HaShkita, because it's too high to do a Shkita. So when you give it to him, you're not going to call it the Beit HaShkita. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, even if you give it to the same point, that includes the Beit HaShkita, because he says Shkita is Ksheira in that location. That's why it says in the Braita that you give the Beit HaShkita with it, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. According to the Chachamim, that area is not Kasher the Shkita. Since it's not kasher the shkita, it's not called the beta shkita. So even though you're giving it, you wouldn't call it the beta shkita. The tanya, mugremet sula, that mugremet, meaning going out of the tabat agdola, is problematic. He says that it's fine because he thinks that that's still the makom shkita, and that's what we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Both the Mishnah and the Braita are the Rabbanan. My ima, ima de beima. The Braita is also the Rabbanan, and the Ima and the Braita means not with the Lechi, Elima Beima. The Beit HaShkita goes with the Beima, not with the Lechi. And that's what it means, Ima. Ima means with the Beima, not Ima with the Lechi that's going to the Kohen, because the Lechi goes only up to the Pika, which is not the Beit HaShkita for the Chachamim. So just if you read the word Ima, not referencing to the Lechi, but rather referencing to the Beima, then the Beit HaShkita goes with the Beima, and that's correct, according to the Chachamim. Okay, with that, we finish the 10th Perek. Hadron Allah, Chazroa, Valech Chayayim.